Hello. I'm Tanya. I am a business and marketing strategist, and I work with tech startups as well as consultancies to amplify the marketing message so they can attract more clients online and convert more sales and generate revenue. So that is basically what I do.
Hello, and welcome to Obehi Podcast. I'm your host, Obehi A14, and I strongly believe that everyone has a story to share. Now let's get started with this episode.
Thank you so much, Tanya. You've been here before, and we had a very lively and interesting conversation. That is why we are here again. In fact, we already laughing start, you know. So thank you for the conversation from your end. So currently, where is you are currently in South Africa at the moment, right?
Yes, I'm currently in South Africa, Johannesburg precisely. But we, like most people since 2020, we operate globally, and we have some representation in Nigeria, and we are busy with incorporating in the US right now.
That's interesting. This is the age where our locations, language, nationality, border, none of them makes sense anymore. We are now in a global village. All right. So in this conversation, we're going to use the term strategy, storytelling, and content and marketing all a lot, because we're going to be talking about storytelling within the area of marketing. And of course, this is something that you are passionate about. How would you describe storytelling within the area of marketing? Let's start from there.
Stories sell. there's a popular selling thing in marketing where they say that facts tell, stories sell. And that's something that I have come to understand. For many that don't know, and probably for your audience, I started out as a copywriter. And probably direct response, and I've evolved into becoming more of a persuasive copywriter. And in the persuasive copywriting school, we rely a lot on storytelling in order for us to relay facts, to convince and persuade without feeling salesy, because that's what persuasive copywriting is about, because you don't want to be salesy. Over time, I realized that direct response was very salesy and people had a lot of resistance to that. So with storytelling, you immediately can create that rapport with prospects, with people reading reading whatever your copy, and create that relationship, because at the end of the day, we are storytellers. Humans, we are storytellers. This is why we have history. History is stories. We record our stories to teach. So one thing that I've realized over time is that when I wanted to teach, or I wanted to persuade my audience, I would use storytelling, because I could have pushed a point across a lot more easily with stories, and people will appreciate that and love that and will receive the message. It was a marketing message. It was with the purpose of selling always, but it was a lot better received on the other end. So storytelling is definitely something that, when leveraged in marketing, your revenue will thank you.
I like that. That is a good part to start. So I want to believe now that by storytelling in business, we are looking at something that might be slightly different from story, once upon a time. We are going to have a bit of strategy. So are there strategy to see that if you want to use storytelling in marketing?
Strategy definitely plays an important role if you want to use storytelling, because the structure in which you have to tell a story is different than once upon a time there was a leopard, or there was a crocodile, there was a mermaid. Those are different type of stories. Those are entertaining stories. However, the type of stories that we often leverage in copywriting or in business is primarily stories that in it draws the prospects into the story where they feel that it is them. So there's other strategy behind it. It's never out of the blue. It's never haphazardly that we would use stories. So if, for example, we are writing a webinar, and we are currently, like for now, we are writing a webinar for a client, and they are in the leadership space. What we're going to do is going to incorporate a story where when they became a leader, the mistakes that they made, how they came about, how they found out the mistake that they made, what happened and what changed. Because those are the stories that would bring people in. Because if you're doing, let's say, a webinar on how to be a good leader, you want to bring the people that are in that webinar because they want to learn how to be a good leader. You want to bring them into the stories so that they can see themselves becoming better leaders. And I call that conversion stories. So it's not just a story, it's a conversion story with the clear purpose of leading the reader, leading the listener into a conversion. So definitely strategies with that is very important.
I don't know if it have happened to you that you met some client who you are trying to propose a strategy to approach their marketing, and maybe you suggest to them storytelling, and maybe they tell you they just want to put the figures out there. People are very fond of the 50%, the 50%, the 100%, or things like that. Has it occurred to you a similar situation where you are want to try to convince a client that it is better to use their story, put their face out there?
I have encountered that quite a lot, and I think I encounter it a lot more when I work with a lot of people in the tech space, especially when you have technical founders. A lot of them don't want their faces there, but there are some that definitely are okay with that. And what happens is that I think one thing that I have found to work is often to see how you can incorporate it into the marketing narrative. Because the one thing people need to understand, and because we specialize in go-to-market primarily, people think that go-to-market is just, yes, we put adverts, we put content out there, and now we are ready. We've done go-to-market, that is go-to-market. We are in the media. And that's the mistakes that people are making, because the stories are part of developing your narrative. And one thing with for go-to-market, for example, is that you have to have a position. You have a brand positioning in the market. You have the target audience where you know, okay, these are the people I want to go after, and this is a position. Maybe I want to be the Louis Vuitton of, let's say, the computer space. At the end of the day, you have to have a narrative. If you look at brands such as Apple, for example, they had a narrative. When in 2007, when Steve Jobs got on that stage in 2007, he had a narrative, and his narrative was that I'm bringing together these two devices. And if you look at what he did, he brought storytelling into it, because that's what gets the audience on your side. So you need to develop a narrative, and you need stories, because there are 100 brands. And I'm sorry, in 2023, you cannot tell me that you've developed something that other people have not created before. It's impossible. Look at how many fintechs, how many e-wallets that we have, how many platforms that we have. Let's say there's PayPal, but we have Flutterwave, we have Paystack, we have a Google Wallet, we have Apple Pay, we have all of this. They are choices. It's no longer a market where you can win by being the most innovative, of having the best features. Unfortunately, we're no longer there. So your marketing has to have a narrative, and a narrative is always better when you have stories behind it, and you have a story that gets people on your side. For example, when you look at A perfect example is for a company such as Paystack, for example. If you think about it, why do you think a lot of Africans and a lot of Nigerians rallied behind Paystack? Because it felt that it was us, this is our baby, this is our like kids from our backyard, this is two Nigerian kids that started it at university. People found themselves in that story. And they supported it, they started to support it because of that.
Thank you so much for that, Tania. Now, this is what I'm thinking. What if you meet a client who maybe based on their understanding, or their level on their understanding, they think that there is no story behind what they do. They believe that they don't have story, or their business do not have story. Therefore, they don't have anything to share in terms of story. Therefore, they just need to rely on data and statistics. What would you say to such people?
Funny enough, I get that all the time, especially because we work with tech startups. We don't have stories, but everybody has a story. Why did you start your company? I remember sitting down with an entrepreneur recently last year, where they were like, we don't have stories. And I asked them, I asked the founder, why did you start your business? And when he started telling the story about his mom being an informal business trader, and having difficulties accessing the financial sector, and not being able to have access to investment and everything because they were in the informal sector. I'm like, this is your story, this is your narrative. Because then that connects, because stories allow us to connect with the mission of the brand. Yes, you can say that your brand, for example, is connecting people to investment opportunities, or you're starting a crowdfunding platform for Africans. But why are you starting that? Because people want to know. This is why people be like, why must I be with you? Why can't I go to X? And that's the reason. So it's always great to ask them their origins, like, why did you start your business? Because an origin story is a story at the end of the day, because why did you start your business? That's a story number one. And also, there is a way data can be put in front of people. For example, let's say you are solving a situation where 50% of people in a population can no longer access water, let me just say something like that. Or there's no electricity. Let me go with South Africa. Problems with electricity. So there is a way to incorporate storytelling in the campaign. For example, instead of talking about how these people are losing business because of no access to electricity, one can share the story of an individual, of putting a face to a name, to facts. So, for example, instead of saying that 50% of people don't have access to electricity in a certain part of the world, you can talk about how, let's say, Adrian walked from somewhere to a house. It's dark, to show how it is dark. The whole area is dark. And she gets home. The kids are kind of running towards her. They are hungry. And there's no way to, like, the stove, so she has to find ways to cook outside with either wood or something, and how inconvenient it is. And then you bring the facts into that. So there's always a way to bring facts into life with stories, because this is what we understand as human at our core. How we process information, first of all, is always by feelings, and then we use logic. This is even how we make purchasing decisions. We process through feelings. So stories allows a brand to touch the feelings, to touch the heart and pull at the heart of the audience. So there's always a way to maybe persuade a client when it comes to that. But also one thing I always speak to agencies about is often to pre-qualify prospects through your content, because your content is, for me, a pre-qualifying factor. If people that don't believe, you believe in storytelling, like I know that you believe in storytelling. So you need to always, for example, put it in through your content about how you leverage stories in your marketing campaigns, how you support clients. Because what that does, it pulls clients that are interested into that form of marketing. Whereas if that is not incorporated in your own marketing, you draw a set of clients. Yes, even when you do that, you can still draw unaligned clients, but I think you will draw more aligned clients in that manner. So always incorporate maybe your values into your content so that you pre-qualify people that are going to come to you. And also find a way to show to them how facts can come to life for you.
So when you say qualify or pre-qualify, for people who maybe are new in this industry or maybe in marketing as it were in general, and maybe do not understand what you mean by that, what would you say to them by pre-qualifying your audience or your client to be?
Okay, what I mean by pre-qualifying the audience is primarily attracting the right audience. So the one thing that I've found, because I've been fortunate enough to work across industries, from tech to consulting to coaching to creative entrepreneurs, and I have often found the biggest issue as being that when people are trying to attract prospects, they use strategies and tactics that are popular, but that do not take into account who it is that they are trying to attract. So if you are trying to attract, like for me, I'll give an example for myself, for example. I believe in demand generation. I believe in content marketing. I believe in leveraging content to generate revenue and engineer revenue, and that is even the playbook that I've created around that. So I consistently evangelize around that. So when you go through my content and my content, I am continuously evangelizing on how content can be leveraged to create revenue and engineer revenue. So the people that will come for me, for example, if you are looking primarily for search engine optimization, those people will not necessarily be attracted to me, though we incorporate that into my business. That is not what we are about. So my content will speak to people that are looking to stand out in the industry, brands that are looking to become leaders in the industry, brands that are looking to become the go-to in the industry. Brands, I believe that content will engineer revenue eventually. Brands that believe in branding, in being out there, in generating content, in getting on podcasts. Those are things that I speak to in my content. So by the time a prospect comes to me, they understand that this is how Tanya approaches marketing. So this is what I mean by pre-qualifying the target audience. Because when you evangelize on what you believe in, what are your core values, what are your beliefs, how you approach marketing, by the time prospect comes to you, they understand that they have to understand that content is what you believe in. So if you are coming to me, let's say, for example, you only want search engine optimization, which is demand capture. I preach against that. I always say that you need to have demand capture and demand generation. And demand generation is done through content creation, is done through social media. So people that will come to me have to understand that. And this is why I repetitively say that through my content. So you need to be willing to become a repetition box, where you continuously repeat things like a broken record, and so that the market can absorb it, because you cannot say it just once. You need to continuously repeat that, because nowadays, prospect needs between 14 to 21 touch points to actually register your marketing message, and that becomes a marketing message. So you use your marketing message, your belief system, what you believe, what is your stand in the market. Let's say for you, Obey, it's storytelling and marketing. That's your stand in the market. So you continuously repeat that to the market. So by the time people come to you, then they're like, okay, or if we are going with Obey here because we want to incorporate storytelling into our marketing. I don't know if that is making sense.
It makes a lot of sense, Tanya. It makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. In fact, that is something that I take out from the last part of your response, that you need to continuously hammer the message on. And that is repetition. Now, we've not yet finished the 5-part series on storytelling series, which of course is at the central piece of what we are doing here. But inside the series, two other series from the first to the last book have stressed the importance of repetition. Repetition. It is very important because that is how we learn anyway. It's just the human nature. Because if a music is very beautiful and you hear it only once, and that is the only once you hear it, you are not going to remember it after some time. But what we know now is that when a music is beautiful, we continuously hear. In fact, how the ad work in most of the cases, whether you are looking at TV ad or internet ad like YouTube, or is that you continuously see a certain pattern, a certain music that is put together for a specific message. You hear it for so long a time, you cannot ignore it. They basically force it on you. This is done by Coca-Cola. This is done by Apple. This is done by Tesla. It is basically the nature of the game. So we must, first of all, identify our message and being able to continuously hammer on it. So thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that.
Thank you for saying that. It is quite important that people understand and they need repetition. Because even think about it, how do you become a fan of a particular musician? You hear a song, you fall in love with the song, maybe on TikTok. This is how nowadays we're discovering new musicians. Oh, this song is dope. So what do? You go on YouTube. You go on YouTube and you listen to it. You're like, oh, this is so cool. Oh, wow. Now you start hearing it everywhere. The message is repetitive. Now you download it on your phone, you play it a couple of times, and immediately you register the words, the lyrics. Now you, after a few times you've heard it, you're able to sing back to, the lyrics. That's exactly what your marketing message ought to be. You need to approach it in the same manner. How do I create a marketing message that becomes a song in somebody's brain? Because when you do that, then you, as for example, let's say you heard, I need to think about maybe P Square, for example. I would hear P Square music every day, and then I fell in love with the music, I started listening to everything, and then I became a fan of P Square to this day. So how do you ensure that you can repeat that? Because then what happens is that if you ask me who is the group, the best music group in Nigeria? Immediately what comes to mind? P Square. And this is why they've been able to, for example, to retain their notoriety even when they separated. The fans, when they come back together, and when they came back, even though they hadn't released music in a long time, boom, they hit the ground running and they had a string of success. That's because you have developed fans and you've developed people that align with your message. So how do you, as a brand, as a business, do that? That's incorporating storytelling, having a great narrative, having great positioning, and having an opinion that you are sharing in the market that is not necessarily what the market is saying. So for example, I say it everywhere that I feel that marketing in Africa is behind, and because of the approach that they have, people are essentially wasting money on trying to run ads, whereas they're spending very little time on developing their marketing message. And I hammer that all the time. So what happens now, people on the platforms that I'm known for, on LinkedIn, for example, people know, oh, Tanya is the marketing girl, Tanya is the marketing strategy girl, because That is why, how I am hammering my message. So by the time people think about marketing strategy, go-to-market strategy, people need to think Tanya. And you do that by incorporating stories. Because there was a time, for example, I shared a story of going clubbing with my friends when we were at university, and a group of Nigerians entered the club, and my friends, they had just gotten money, and they spent their money relentlessly trying to compete with those Nigerians. And then I brought it into marketing about how clubs understand how to influence people to spend money. And I had a founder reach out to me, and he was like, I've been around marketers from across the globe, but what you've done there, I've never seen it done, because that story has been playing in my mind for the past 3 days.
Yeah, yeah. And that is the power of storytelling. That is really it. Now, would you say that, for example, that there are key elements of a good business storytelling? What would that element be? Maybe you want to tell somebody who's a beginner in the industry.
Wow. that is a whole module in my programs, in my marketing program. But essentially, there are different types of stories that you can tell. There are conversion stories. There are stories that you use to illustrate points. So those are used to tell facts so that people can absorb your narrative and you can shift beliefs. So those are called belief shifting stories. There's the origin story. There's the hero journey story. How you've discovered your past, how you've discovered your purpose. So there are different stories you can tell, and each play a different role. For example, the one I just gave, the example of the one with the founder, that was a belief shifting stories. The purpose while I was writing that story and writing that post was primarily to shift people's belief from how to influence, from just advertising, to how to use psychology to influence people. And that's why I use that particular example of my friends at the club, because by when they kept seeing the people popping champagne and the waiters bringing all the fanfare that they bring, it influenced them. So that was a belief shifting, because when I write a post like that, I'm influencing CEOs that are essentially the decision makers that need to make a decision to hire a business, that this is how you should approach marketing. So that is a belief shifting story. Whereas a conversion story is a story where I want the prospect, if let's say I am pitching my program, for example, which is one of my programs is Independent Consulting Blueprint, which is me teaching other professionals or other agency owners or business owners how to set up their independent consulting firms so that they can get corporate clients, established SMEs or VC-backed tech startups as clients, for example. So in that story, I will tell them the story of how I would post content, I would share content, and it never clicked. I never would get clients. And then I eventually learned about, I learned how to, that I wanted people to know certain facts about creating, about me and about my business prior to wanting to work with me. And then I developed the content ecosystem playbook. And eventually when I started deploying it, I started having founders reach out to me like, hey, Tanya, can we have a meeting? I want to talk to you about possibly helping us with our go-to-market. That story brings the audience who is my ideal client in this case, who is probably another agency owner, another creator, another freelancer, who wants to be where I currently am. And I'm telling with that story, I'm telling them that, hey, this is what happened to me. It can happen to you too, because they can see it. and they can understand it. So it depends on where you are, who is your audience, then that will determine the story that you tell and the purpose of what the story is meant to do.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that response. I appreciate that. Now, I said in the beginning that we are going to use the term storytelling, strategy, business, a number of time here. And in the previous question, you did use it a lot. So somebody might be wondering, what is even storytelling strategy, or how should that be described? What would you say?
I would say that storytelling strategy for me is incorporating stories that have a purpose and a structure. You can't just say, because I've been irritated on certain masterclasses and webinars where I'll get it, and I will have somebody go on and on and on about their life.
Forever.
From when they were born to how they went to school. This is the high school. Please don't do that, because that you actually alienate your audience and make your life miserable. So the storytelling strategy is about understanding who the audience is. It's about understanding what is the purpose of the story in the particular scenario that you are in, and having a set structure that brings the audience into the story. So it's about bringing structure and strategy to get us through stories. That's at least how I view that.
All right, thank you for that. Now, because you use storytelling, you're a content creator, you're a good marketer, to really spell that out correctly, which opportunity do you see for small businesses in the terms of using storytelling in their social media campaigns?
You will have a better brand. You'll gain brand recognition in the market. You can definitely get to a standard where you become a known entity, a known expert with using storytelling. You also get to a space where you are able to stand out. You live rent-free in people's brains, for example, because you tell stories. When somebody thinks of maybe marketing, or they think of water, and they have your story in your brain, immediately your brand comes to mind. So you start gaining market share in the market. So it's definitely for smaller businesses. I'm a small business. Actually, I learned that small businesses are even businesses that make up to $30 million. So even some of these businesses that you think are big are small businesses. When you leverage storytelling, you stand out. You definitely stand out in the market, in the sea, especially, I like to say, the sea of sameness, because prior to us hitting record, I was telling you the story of how certain businesses would want to copy the competitors. They would go on the website and copy their competitors. And at the end of the day, when they do that, then there's a sea of sameness. And I recently made a post about that, where it's like, I don't know if anybody is familiar with Catholic churches, when the choir sings and it feels like everybody is singing in unison and it's beautiful. This is exactly what happens in the market. Everybody's singing in unison. It's beautiful, but we only hear one thing. And what happens, the market shuts you out. So when people, now you approach your marketing differently, you incorporate storytelling, you incorporate having a narrative, you incorporate different aspects of marketing that has nothing to do with copying others, you become a known entity because you are different. And as we all know, when somebody is different, we pay attention. And when you are different as a brand, the market starts paying attention and you become the leader in that market.
I was about to pay attention to that. that you cannot be afraid to be different. All right. That was, I think that should be 2016. I have written the book, the second book from my research about the presence of Africans in Northern Italy, from where this podcast actually is coming from. So in that book, in one of the arguments I was saying, of course, I was talking about the multiculturality in the Italian society, in the Northern Italian society to be specific, because that was where we were actually concentrating on. I would say now, we hear people think that Italy is a monoculture. I say, okay, let's give it to them, but let's examine something. Let's take up a piece of art. When you look at this piece of art from afar, you don't yet see the differences in them. You think it's one thing, but it is not. It is when you begin to deconstruct that piece of art, whether you are looking at a painting, whether you are looking at a carved image, you begin to see that it's actually made up of contradiction, in that red is written on top of white, and there is also blue, and there is green. That is what makes it even possible for us to see it. I use another example, another analogy. I say, you take a photo camera and you make an attempt to focus. The photo camera, the engine, the machine will never be able to focus if everything is uniform, because the machine is looking for contradiction where the line cross. Until the machine can get that point, it cannot focus. I mean, the photo camera that, of course, all of us use. Which is to say, in line with what you have said, that we must appreciate the contradiction for the very good of it, in that you are different. Yes, you are different. Appreciate your unique. Let me use another word for it, that you are unique. You are unique, me. You are not just like every other person. Because if you are like every other person, then you are just a number. In my place in Nigeria, it is said that it is the first rat that has name. Every other rat is another rat. So if you want to amount to something, you must come out from the crowd and own who you are. That includes even your failure too. So thank you so much for that part.
That is so true. I like that saying, the first rat is the one that has a name. And that is the truth. Like, you need to own, and I always say you need to be willing to occupy space. And that is often because, as humans, oftentimes we are a herding specimen. So we have a tendency to come together and herd under one ruler. This is often the tendency as human beings, and this is the foundation of societies. And oftentimes what happens is that you may have a different opinion over things, but you are afraid to be different. You are afraid to stand out because you feel that you will be judged, because this is how we've been conditioned through our society. If you want to build a brand, you want to build a business, you want to stand out, you want to actually become a leader in your industry, you need to be able to occupy space. And occupying space means that you might have to move left when everybody's moving right. And I often say that move left when everybody is moving right, zig when everybody is zagging. Because when you do that, then you are able to stand out. And it's something that I actually made a post that actually had over 10,000 impressions yesterday. And this is what I was speaking about, that sometimes last year I made a decision to unplug from the matrix. And for me, the matrix is the way we heard over what is supposed to be a society. So if somebody primarily works in the online space, we have some industry norms that we have. You have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do it this way, you have to do that. And sometimes late last year, I'm like, this is not me. This is not, like, for example, for a lot of online entrepreneurs, it's about lifestyle, showing your lifestyle, showing how you live a luxurious life. But at the end of the day, that is not me. I'm introverted. Contrary to popular belief that people would would think is a lie. I'm shy. I'm a shy person. I like my own space. I'm very reserved. So this lifestyle kind of marketing is not for me. And this is what keeps getting hammered for people. And I made the decision, you know what? I'm not doing it. They said blogging is dead. I'm currently blogging. I've started a publication where we blog, and we are launching, we have a magazine on the back end and newsletter. But they said blogging is dead. Don't blog. But I've been blogging, and this is what exactly has built my business. I've been micro-blogging on social media, and I have been blogging on my LinkedIn newsletter and blogging on other, Business Screen Mag. And I made the decision, you know what, I will do things my way. If it falls down in flambers, that's good. But what has happened is that the fact that I'm moving different, people are paying attention. The fact that I'm having conversation, I am pinning my thoughts on social media. Like today, I pinned my thoughts about people need to work on their business and not just in their business. They have to think about certain aspects. Are you thinking about exiting your business? And it's not always marketing. People are paying attention. And that's what, as an entrepreneur, as a brand, as a creator, whether you are just a content creator or whether you have a business, it is important that you get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because you are going to have to be uncomfortable with standing out and being different so that you can create the business that you desire.
Looking at storytelling, you did say before that when we read history, we are reading storytelling. In fact, there is a part in this book series, the storytelling series, where I was saying that storytelling is deep. In fact, it's also about survival. And of course, we have also done some episode here where we actually try to explore that a little bit deeper. That, for example, in Africa, in the African continent, this is the only land that people have been living for thousands of years before they could live in another place. Now, our ancestors managed to survive because of their knowledge of history, their knowledge of storytelling. Because there was no book that was written, but they managed to memorize the information and pass it on by words of mouth. But that is this storytelling. Because it helped them to understand where is food in this piece of land, where is water, and also where is danger. Because without this key information, they would have simply been wiped out. So storytelling is also about survival. It helps us also to understand what is food. How do we know what is food? It's based on experience. But these experiences are not only written in book. Even though they are passed down through oral narration, the memory are passed down to the people. If you don't know that story, you are not going to live. So it's not just for the purpose of business, even though today we are looking at storytelling from the point of view of business. And again, when we are in business, we are not just like telling people business. We are trying to connect to people, try to understand what the people want. So if that is what the people, if what we are doing is trying to fulfill the desires of the people, then we will first of all understand them. But how can you understand them without first connecting to them? So I think that is where the whole thing becomes very interesting. Now, say maybe for example, this is a young person again who want to get started, because after listening to you now for a very long time, and she or he have finally made up his or her mind to get started with storytelling, where would you want them to start?
First of all, one of the stories I love to say, you need to have an origin story. You need to have an origin story, and your origin story is always why, your purpose. So, and it should tie to events that shaped you. For example, for me, when I talk about my origin story, I often say that I had a child. I felt that I constantly was traveling and never was around. And I felt that one minute my son was a week old and the next he was 7, and I just didn't know where the time went, because I was always working and I would sometimes take him to the office to work on weekends so that I could spend time with him, but generally I didn't spend time with him. He was just in the office and I wanted to change that. And that's how I stumbled into freelancing and I started freelancing. So that humanizes my business and my purpose, my why, which is something that a lot of people can understand, which is providing for your loved one, but also being able to be present in the life of your loved ones. And discover your origin story, for example. What is your origin story? And then that is one story that you should have. You should have your hero story. What happened that took you from place A to place B? What has been that? If let's say, for example, like on the coaching side, what took you from struggling to being able to be where you are, where you're in a much better place? That story should be there. Also, that is your hero journey, when you went on your hero journey. And obviously always have a conversion story, which is often what you incorporate into sales conversations. And that could be one-on-one sales conversations, or that could be one-to-many sales conversations, which is for webinars, for example. But those three stories, when you have them in your business, you will be able to create results that you would be happy with.
Thank you for that, Tanya. Now, we all learn from each other. That is certainly the truth. That is how we have been existing as human beings. Now, within marketing, within the business world, or within the small business world, if you want to limit it to that, who are the best storyteller out there who have been able to use their storytelling skill for businesses that maybe inspire you? Who are your hero in terms of storyteller within the area of business?
I would have to say Vincent Demekwayo. I can't think of anybody else. I have to say Vusi Demekwayo. Vusi Demekwayo is a great storyteller. And he has inspired me from 2017 to now because he's a great storyteller. Then I can't think of anyone else right now that I would say is a fantastic storyteller that I can, out of the top of my head. And this should tell you why, like, you should have storytelling, because the minute you ask me, Vusi came to mind because he's been living rent-free in my head because he's such a great storyteller.
Now, what would you say you have learned in storytelling marketing as a strategist? Again, I come back to the word, because I think you basically live on that strategy and you are a good strategist. Please help me understand that.
What have I learned? What have I not learned? I think the thing with me is that even if anybody goes on the website, it says we believe in this disruption. It's one of our core values. So disruption, stealth, and adapting. So we are always testing. So I'm a tester. I like testing things. And storytelling allows me to test what messages sticks, what messages don't. So that has been my approach to it. So what have I learned with storytelling? For me, storytelling is a tool. It's a tool within my hands and that I can leverage and flow with. So it's basically a tool that I use to test messaging. It's a tool that I use to build rapport. And it's a tool that I use to humanize brands. So it's a tool. I leverage it primarily as a tool within strategy itself.
It's a tool, all right. And we're going to have to use that tool very well to succeed in our business and in our marketing specifically. All right. Now, how do you create a marketing storytelling? I don't know if there are key things that people should pay attention to when designing their marketing storytelling.
I think the thing is I don't say that they are key elements, but there's always a point A to point B and a bridge. I always say that. There's always a bridge. So what is the point A? What is the point B? But it should also create curiosity. Your stories should always create curiosity in the reader that they want to know how does that end. So always create curiosity. There has to be a point A, B, which is the final destination, A, the starting point, the bridge, which is often the loop where you open a loop in the in people's minds and eventually close the loop at the end of the story. So this is basically how I approach storytelling. So point A, where are we now? Point B, what is the destination? Or what do I want them to get by the end of the story? Opening loops throughout the story, or having one or two loops, depending on how short or long the story is.
Absolutely interesting. People should pay attention to that. Now, how can people reach out to you, those who want to do business with you? Of course, there are a lot of businesses that can benefit from what you are doing, but tell them how to reach you.
So you can find out a lot more about us on www.withdigitalmarketing.online. That will give you an insight on what we are. But you can also send me a message through my LinkedIn, which is Tanya Kabuya, and tell me that you are on you listen to me on Obey and Obey podcast, and you want my quick checklist and guide on storytelling, and I'll send that over to you. So you can reach out to me via that, and possibly also visit our publication website, which is businessprintmag.digital, where we share a lot more insight that is not marketing on building a business. So this is where we speak on creating systems, we share on how to work on your business and not just in your business. So that is also where I share a lot more. I blog, I'm one of the writers on the publication, so we share a lot more content on there as well. So, and the fact that storytelling keeps coming back, I think we will also publish an article on that.
What would be your final thought here today concerning what we have discussed about the storytelling for business and marketing strategy?
Stop waiting on that. Stop trying to figure out what you should do. Start doing. And I think I have to say, I recently was reading a piece I wrote a few years ago, and I was embarrassed that I was the writer, and that is the most beautiful thing, because then it shows the journey and the growth. So start today and then improve, iterate. Instead of waiting to get perfect at doing something, start and start working on the task, because you cannot. I remember my grandfather used to say, I'm trying to find a word in English, but you can't go to the forest and try to catch an animal. You can't want to have the animal on your table without going to the forest to catch it. So you can't do that. Because I remember the words in the African language. I'm just trying to find the translation, but I know that it's a popular African proverb that is often told. So you do not go, you cannot eat food on your table if you haven't gone out to hunt for that particular animal. You need to go and hunt. And it's the same thing with honing your storytelling abilities. You need to start by telling stories. So start, learn the basics, get a book. Obey has a fantastic book on that. Learn that, start implementing. And the more you own it, the more you do it, you get better at it, and you get to a space where you can with ease write stories and create stories.
Thank you so much, Tanya. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. I appreciate also your contribution on this important conversation on the use of storytelling in our business and in our marketing. I appreciate you, my sister.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here. I love what you're doing, and I hope that people can learn from this and implement.
Thank you very much. And for all of you that have listened, of course, if you want to just test out the book, the first chapter of the series is available on obehe14.com.
If you enjoy this podcast, make sure you subscribe so you never miss any of our future episodes. Rate and review Obehe Podcast and share with your friends who might need it. I remain Obehe Ewafo. Thank you so much for listening and talk to you in the next episode.